Sweet, sweet sense, you know. Yeah, I. Na-na-na-na-na. So what? Yo, finally the herbs come around. The high grade with me, I look for me, get it by the pound, yeah. Sweet sense, you come around. Me, I take a little jar and pass it around. Finally the herbs come around. The high grade with me, I look for me, stock it by the pound, yeah. When Babylon I come around, ask them with them, I go search for. Ever since the herbs slow down.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Reefer Rhetoric, Stop the Political Propaganda.
Quit it, stop it.
As usual, I'm your host, Dean Schwag.
And I'm Professor Blunston.
This is episode 12 of the show, and today is Tuesday, March 13th, 2012. Thank you very much for joining us. Show notes are available on our website at reeferrhetoric.com, and you can send emails to reeferrhetoric@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at Reefer Rhetoric and find us on Facebook. Also, for those wishing to share a story, feel free to call and leave a voicemail at 254-307-2872 and we'll be happy to consider playing it on the air. Please subscribe to our show on iTunes, pass us around to your friends, and take a brief moment to roll up a review on the Reefer Rhetoric iTunes page.
Twist it, roll it.
As usual, guys, our first segment is True Facts. Professor Blunston?
Come on, people. Say it with us.
Zero deaths, zero overdoses. Fact. All right. Our second fact is the potency of today's cannabis is only slightly higher, on average, than the pot of 20 or 30 years ago. Marijuana's increased potency, however, is not associated with increased health risk. Fact.
In 1890, Sir R.J. Reynolds, chief physician to Queen Victoria, prescribed medical cannabis. Fact.
All right, guys, as usual, our second segment is spoken words from Professor Blunston.
This piece is entitled Top Strand Ball. Say that you've smoked it all. Well, let's give Danny Danko a call. Wonderberry Laughing Buddha Bush. Jorge Cervantes grew a hell of a kush. Buddha Sister Kim Dog Sweet Skunk. Danny Boy earlier got junk in a trunk. Low Rider Lemon Kush Mango. Willie Nelson have a strand as Danny Danko. Sotora Sour Diesel all in your face. Romulan will lay you down when she's in the place. Martian Mean Green SAGE. Joint Doctor. Diesel Rider will see me. So you haven't smoked it all, I didn't think so. But Blunston know who have called Danny Danko. Peace. One love. All praises due to the creator.
Thank you very much, Professor Blunston. You guys can follow Professor Blunston on Twitter at Prof Blunston, and he can be reached by email at profblunston@gmail.com. Again, guys, that's P-R-O-F. Blunston is B-L-U-N-T-S-T-O-N. At this time, we're going to play a couple interviews that we had from Rice University. The first one is with Miss Ann Lee, and the second one will be with Ethan Nadelman. So at that time, we're going to go ahead and play those clips.
Broadcasting to you live from the Rice Center, we have a very, very special guest with us. We have the mother of the founder of Oaksterdam University. This is Mrs. Lee.
Miss Lee, you want to go ahead and tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
And your son.
Well, I'm an 82-year-old, married for 62 years with the great man, Richard's father. And because of Richard in 1990, after he had the accident, put him in the wheelchair, spasticity is a problem for spinal cords. The only medicine that they could give him at the time had some pretty iffy side effects.
Okay.
While in the hospital, in their hospital, in his wheelchair, in their library, he chanced upon some research done by two doctors for marijuana and spasticity, using marijuana for spasticity.
Okay.
Got out of the hospital. And I can remember to this day, now this was back 1990.
Mm-hmm.
This young man who always marched to a different drum, you wouldn't be surprised.
Your
at
son,
that.
Right?
But he was always truthful.
Okay.
And he looked at us and he said, Mom and Dad, marijuana is good for me. And he knew I had been preaching against it. I hated stuff. I thought it was awful. The weed of the devil, so on and so forth.
So you was a mother that initially preached against it.
Very much so.
Okay.
And so, anyway, that's so what we had to do, not only gulp, but listen to him because of his integrity.
Okay. okay.
That's the big thing we had to remember. He wasn't just
smoking, okay. Right. He was integrity, okay.
And do a lot of research and an awful lot of prayer. And so then I realized that I became a cynic somewhat because of my government has been lying to me all this time.
Right. Now, you guys have just heard it. That is Mrs. Richard. This is Mrs. Ann Lee, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
Richard Lee's mom, the owner of, the founder of Oaksterdam. But there's another speaker going, so we're going to let her get back into the thing. But we appreciate her interview. Right. We're going to let her get back into the auditorium. Thank you all very much.
You have my card? Did I give you a card?
Yes.
All right, guys, and this next interview is with Ethan Nadelman.
All right, guys, today on the show we have Ethan Nadelman. Is that correct?
That's right.
All right, Ethan, you want to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I've been involved in trying to end the drug war for many years, first as a professor, and then I created what's now called the Drug Policy Alliance. We're the leading organization in the country of people who believe the war on drugs is doing a lot more harm than good.
Right, right. You have some questions for him?
Man, Ethan, from actually listening at Ethan talk this morning in the conference, you guys, the guy's on fire, okay? I mean, mm-hmm. I have to salute him right here. The question I want to ask you is, from being in law enforcement as long as you were, what actually made you just figure out, okay, hey, I need to end this, let's do something different?
Well, I should clarify, I was not in law enforcement. What I did was I spent my years in graduate school interviewing law enforcement agents and a little bit of time in the State Department's Narcotics Bureau. And what you saw when you meet these guys is a lot of guys just like anybody else. Many of them just see it as doing a job. Many are true believers. Many are cynics. Some are honest. Some are corrupt. But what you see was they didn't really know what they were talking about when it came to drugs, drug policy. And what you also saw was that the people involved in fighting the war on drugs, the people involved in enforcing the drug laws, they have entirely lost sight of why we ever made drug laws in the first place.
Right.
There's the whole notion that the drug laws, if they have any upstanding dimension, mm-hmm. it's to try to protect people, to keep people from getting hurt. And yet we land up creating this drug prohibitionist system that's all about hurting people. It's all about making things, doing things to people that are worse than drugs
right.
can do to them. And I think that notion, that the whole war on drugs has become divorced from whatever upstanding principles it has, it makes you think about an ossified religion.
Right.
You know, most religions start with a good, original moral impulse. It's technically a humanitarian thing, you know, whether it's, you know, Jesus or Abraham
right.
or Muhammad.
Right.
And then what happens is it becomes a church. And then it develops rules and rituals. And then it begins to be enforced for its own sake. And then people forget why you had the rules and the laws in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
It just becomes about the enforcement and the punishment of heretics. That's what the drug wars become today.
How long have you been fighting for this drug war?
Oh, I've been fighting this battle probably close to 25 years, and I feel like I've just begun to fight.
Really?
Where do you see the future of cannabis here in America?
Well, I think cannabis is on its way to becoming legal, more or less the way alcohol is, but I think we should not underestimate the challenges of getting there. Let's not forget that by the mid-1990s, 60% of Americans thought that marijuana should be legal for medical purposes. And here it is 2002, you know, 16 years later, 16 states have passed laws to legalize medical marijuana, and we still can barely get the federal government to budge on this stuff. So let's remember that even when you have a sizable majority of the public on your side, it does not mean that federal law is going to change. The greatest challenge we have confronting us is that as more and more states legalize medical marijuana and also begin to legalize marijuana more generally,
mm-hmm.
the feds are going to keep trying to screw it up, mess it up, block it. And managing and negotiating that transition from marijuana prohibition in America to eliminating marijuana prohibition in America is going to be the biggest challenge that the drug policy reform movement faces. It's going to require a new level of sophistication and maturity on our part.
Got it. Where can listeners find out more about you and Drug Policy Alliance?
Well, go to the website drugpolicy.org, or I was on the TV show Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman this morning.
Okay.
So you can check out their site. Go to YouTube and type in, just type in Ethan and marijuana. It'll probably pop right up.
Perfect.
Thank you, guys. Like I said, once again, we're broadcasting live from Rice University. We are here at the War on Drugs, and we were very, very privileged to have the founder and executive director of the Drug Policy Alliance, Mr. Ethan Nadelman.
And thank you, guys, for doing what you do.
Hey, thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, guys, once again, those were interviews from Rice University this weekend at the debate. At this point in time, we are going to go ahead and move forward with our third segment, Political Propaganda, where we're going to break down some stories.
Yeah, guys, I mean, we're sitting here trying to hold it all in because we had a great time at the debate, but we'll elaborate on this
in just a little bit, guys. And at this time, we're going to run with these stories. Anything we do talk about will be available in the show notes on ReeferRhetoric.com. This is from MyFoxHouston, which is Fox 26 in Houston. It's entitled Experts Debate Legalized Marijuana. This is pretty much a recap of this debate. I'm going to go ahead and play this video for you guys at this time.
Don't you wish it was this easy to reduce cellulite and lose those stubborn pounds?
Well, it is, with Hypoxy.
Hypoxy is a long-proven European method to losing unwanted inches off your stomach, thighs, and bum in just 4 weeks. Take advantage of your free consultation and session by visiting hypoxyhouston.com or call us at 281-302-5041.
Earlier this week, televangelist Pat Robertson said adults should be able to buy marijuana just like they buy alcohol.
But the devil's in the details. And today at Rice University, experts grappled with how legalization might look. Ned Hibbert is here now with their perspective. Ned.
Guys, we all know the reasons why illegal drugs, marijuana, are banned. But half of Americans now say marijuana should be legal. And that will actually be on the ballot in November in Colorado and Washington State. So for some, legal pot might not be just a pipe dream much longer.
If we are going to legalize, and it looks like we will in at least some states, we got a lot of details to work out.
Namely, how to move marijuana and possibly other drugs from the black market to the open market.
Nobody wants to have crack rocks of crack in the gumball machines at Skeeters. We know that's not going to happen. What has been most talked about is something similar to the way we treat alcohol and tobacco.
Now, it may be tempting to dismiss legalization as some kind of stoner wish fulfillment. Only in this room, you'll find former mayors and cops, people who say the war on drugs cannot stem the supply or dent the demand.
My team in Ecuador once caught 14 metric tons of cocaine, which is about 30,000 pounds. 6 months later, the price of cocaine had not changed on the streets.
Nonviolent drug offenders pack our prisons and jails. Many of them are minorities.
It's undermining the potential and the future of our community because clearly, especially the large numbers of African-American men that are no longer a part of the labor force and no longer a part of the political process.
Meantime, who's getting rich? The cartels, for one. A Mexican drug trafficker is on the Forbes list of billionaires this year, while the 5-year tally of murders south of the border approaches 50,000.
What's happening in Mexico and Central America today, it's like Chicago during the days of Prohibition and Al Capone times 50.
Gangsters like Capone profited from alcohol prohibition in the 1920s.
My parents decided that alcohol was bad, but alcohol with Al Capone was worse than alcohol without Al Capone. And I think that's basically the choice we have to make.
People legitimately worry that legalization would make marijuana more accessible to children. But when you ask the kids, as one former teacher can tell you, here's what they say.
We can get drugs cheaper, easier than beer. Like, we can't go to the store and get the beer because we're not old enough, but hey.
But I don't think we would see a real increase in young people because they already live in a world of widespread availability, and we've had 30 to 40 years of demonstrating that there's nothing the government can do to change that.
That's interesting. There is some support for legalization from the left wing for humanitarian reasons and from the right wing for economic reasons. In 2010, a proposition that would have okayed marijuana possession in California was defeated by 7 percentage points.
All right, guys, again, that was a video from Fox 26 Houston.
Yeah, let's get right into...
And let me, real quick, also, guys, you can find a recap of this by Russ Belville as well. This is on opposingviews.com.
Russ, break it down, Belville!
And he just talks about, you know, thanks to the James A. Baker Institute, and he really breaks it down because he is Russ Break It Down Belville. So if you guys want to check that out, that link will be available in our show notes.
Okay, so what are we going to...
We're going to go ahead and get into this now. So you go ahead and lead us... Go ahead and lead us off,
Bunston. First of all, I would really, really, really like to thank Rice University, of course, and Dr. William Martin for even allowing, for even opening up
this discussion.
Right, okay.
And the James Baker Institute for Public Policy over at Rice University was awesome. They did a great job of putting this
fantastic
thing on.
Fantastic. Everything it was great, okay. By far, my man Russ Break It Down Belville was the highlight of the show. okay, by far. I mean, well,
break it down. Belleville did fantastic. Don't get me in. Ethan did fantastic when he was up there. Well, so did Russ Jones.
We had some great people. We had some great speakers. Okay.
Where do you want to start off? I mean, we were there all day. We were there Thursday night also to hear Rick Steves speak.
Michelle, as a matter of fact, Dr. Michelle Alexander, okay, she have a wonderful book that we got the opportunity to hear her speak on a video, but she has a great book out that's entitled The New Jim Crow.
Fantastic. You need to check that out.
Yeah, and it's dealing with mass incarceration in a new age of colorblindness, okay? So that book is great. You need to get that book.
Russ Jones also wrote a book that we picked up.
Exactly. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that book is entitled...
I'm trying to remember. I know we picked up a copy of it and we got him to sign it.
Law enforcement again. He's
head of LEAP, which is Law Enforcement Against Prohibition.
You know what?
You didn't bring the copy of your book,
We will announce that on the next show.
We will announce that. Just to briefly go through what happened on Friday when William Martin first introduced everybody, we then had a session between Ethan Nadelman and John Coleman, which was quite interesting.
Very much so.
We went and spoke with John Coleman afterwards, and he seemed okay. I mean, he was obviously very much so against our cause when it comes to re-legalizing cannabis, but... He didn't seem like that bad of a guy when we were talking to him. He seemed somewhat open to listening. Somewhat, but I don't know how open his ears were really when you were speaking with him.
Ethan, please talk. That's Ethan's friend. Ethan, please talk to him because, anyway.
Now, our next session was quite difficult to sit through at times, to say the least. This was...
The only reason it was okay because, remember, Judge Michael McSpadden was there, and then, of course...
And McSpadden, we weren't sure about at first, but right. McSpadden did jump in later
right,
and
then
say...
Russ was there as well.
And Russ Jones did a fantastic job of slamming those guys because... Yes. I mean, having Michael Durden up there at first, and then we had the DA from Harris County, we had the Honorable Patricia Lykos. She's... on a lot of the rhetoric as well. I mean, they were talking about the traces and the 1/100th of a gram, and we were thinking maybe they're starting to get it because they were talking about how it's kind of ridiculous.
It's costing too much, right?
Right. But then they started preaching rhetoric.
Right. Right. And then I didn't really like the analysis that and the pictures that they were painting of. They were saying basically this is what society would look like if the person's on drugs and people
I felt like I was in Dare.
They
again.
Showed pictures of a woman on meth is what they did. And of course it deteriorates the body and it does, okay? But they weren't particularly staying on track with cannabis.
And when we were, I will say, the executive assistant chief of Houston Police Department, Michael Durden, kept saying, yo, we're going to have a stone society.
Yeah,
we're gonna
he
have
kept
a stone-
saying that. He kept saying, he kept using that terminology. We're going to have a stone society. And then he also...
He made the comment about, you know, not being productive in society. If you guys just want to go smoke and not be a part of society.
And then Russ break it down veil.
Well, when he jumped it up there later,
bam,
we really broke him down.
Yeah,
I mean,
because basically...
they went before him, so he was able to really reiterate some of the crap they brought up.
Exactly, and basically look at himself. I mean, is he not productive? Oh, so you're saying, he's not productive. And you know what? I know there were other people in that audience, even though among the police... I know there were people that wanted to stand up and say, I'm productive.
I know, there were lots of...
And I'm lit right now,
There was a lot of silver hair there. I was surprised by the number of elderly people that were there in support of our cause.
Right.
It was phenomenal.
Right.
It was phenomenal. Okay, at that time we took a break before going into this third session, and that's where Break It Down Belleville got up there after... Or he got up there first. Russ spoke, and then Kevin Sabet spoke, Dr. Kevin Sabet, and he was full of rhetoric.
Right.
Now, he was tough to sit through. I know at one point in time, Blunson said, let's just get up and go to lunch already. But
yeah, I was ready to bounce.
Sit there and listen because we knew that Break It Down Belleville was about to go back and forth during the debate with him, and he was going to get him.
Right. So we stood there. We basically sat there and listened to a 30-year-old...
He's a 33-year-old
propaganda slinger. That's what I'm going to call him. A 30-year-old propaganda slinger. That was ridiculous. A 30-year-old cannabis propaganda slinger.
Yes. I mean, it was absolutely absurd. Ridiculous. I mean, and when we went to try to speak with him afterwards, he immediately jumped down both mine and Blunston's throats without even giving us a chance.
He was very defensive.
Talking about a religious crusade and this and that. So, you know.
And then there was the Reverend Edwin Sanders II out of Nashville, Tennessee. I was very, very, I was shocked after to hear what he was actually saying, and I'm thinking he's on our side as well.
He is, because he absolutely basically is.
Of the mass incarcerations and things of that, he's on our side as well.
Okay? I was really talking a lot about what Blunston was talking about earlier. This was after we'd seen the video from Michelle Alexander about, you know, the new age of colorblindness.
Right.
And so he was really speaking on that,
right,
and talking about how this issue is affecting us and how relegalization will help change that.
Right, right. And see, and you know, I was thinking that it was going to be hard getting to the African-American community in regards to this relegalization and the medical effects from it, because it has been in our community for years.
Right.
Okay. And that is one thing that I think that we should also look at. Here it is, this particular herb has been in our community for years, mm-hmm. centuries, okay?
Absolutely. Fact.
No one's, fact. But no one's ever died from it.
Fact.
It's never harmed
anyone. Something Kevin Sabet would not even admit. And
it's never harmed anyone in the African American community.
One thing that irritated me, just to go back, and I don't want to continue talking about how irritated I was with Dr. Sabet, but he was just full of rhetoric. I mean, he wouldn't even admit the zero deaths.
Right, he wouldn't
admit
that.
Most people you talk to that are against us will at least admit that.
Right. Well,
but,
yeah,
you know, Sabet did work for the White House. What shocks me is it shows.
Yeah, but we had that one guy at the after party. He was just so, but
and
anyway.
We'll get to the after party. Next session was the International Alternatives and Insights. This was interesting, too. We had Alex Stevens talking about things going on in the U.K., we had Gary Hale speaking about Mexico.
Yes, and we have an interview coming up
with
Gary Hale because
in a
future
episode.
Yes, he was great. I mean,
some of these guys that are former DEAs and things, it's like, you know, it's tough to
out. But yeah, exactly. Because when you look at them and they initially come on stage and start speaking, you're thinking like, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, what's going on here?
This guy's
going
to be preaching
rhetoric.
He's
got some more. Yeah, but then all of a sudden.
But then you find out, you know, he knows what's going on. He's seen it.
And then he's also willing to tell it.
Right.
He's willing to tell the public what's actually going on and give his opinions what he thinks should happen. And he's also, I mean, he's fighting for the cause.
The last speaker during that session was Bill Piper for the United States. He's the Director of National Affairs for Drug Policy Alliance. At that time, there was a break before we got to hear the Honorable Larry Campbell close things out.
He
is hilarious, guys.
And he's a great guy. He's great as well.
He's a senator from Canada, guys, and he is great. We have an interview with him coming up in a future episode
as
well.
Yeah, we do as well. It's also Larry, Senator Campbell, Senator Campbell, I did not forget to send you your T-shirt, you know.
It's in the mail,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's in the mail. I guarantee it. Then that's not just a saying. It's in the mail. No, you will get it. Okay. But like I said, he was a great guy. But back to the guy that, you know, that really made it. I mean, I enjoyed the entire conference. Okay.
Well, are we going to talk a little bit more about hanging out with Russ, the after party, all that? Okay. So we did some interviews, and after we did all that, we hung out for a while, and Russ.
He wanted to go eat. Okay.
Was ready to go eat.
Russ wanted to go eat. You know, I'm from Houston. Well, Dean Swag and I both are from Houston. Okay. So, but Dean Swag didn't really know a particular other than.
And Blunston's a driver. He knows his way around. He can do this.
Well, yeah, but you see,
he said he could do this. Well, I don't know if we want to get into this.
Russ Breaking Down Belleville brought the rain to Houston, okay? And then Houston, and you know, and they're doing various constructions there, and the rodeo is there, and well, we kind of got, you know, turned around, you know, a little bit, but not really. We just, there was no signs to detour, actually to get back on the freeway, is what
happened. This isn't happening.
Dean Swag, I'm talking about. No, I said this isn't happening, and Dean Swagger was talking about, well, yes it is. I really want to put his ass out in the rain, you know.
But that was some rain, though, man. You can put me out in 2 seconds.
Okay, and then, see, we couldn't see. But anyway, Houston, I took Russ Break It Down Belleville to authentic Mexican restaurant called Del Sol's. Okay, it's off of 45 and Broadway.
We know this now.
It's off of 45 and Broadway. So anyone coming through Houston, if you want some great, great, authentic Mexican food at a real inexpensive price.
And an anonymous friend did come meet up with us. My buddy that I've known for a long time.
Yes, an anonymous friend. We had him there. It was great. It was great meeting him. He's a great guy.
I
look forward to hanging out with him again, and not only when we come to Houston, but in other cities that we may go to, because you never know. He may be with us.
Absolutely. And Russ, we're going to be looking forward to seeing you in, I guess, about a month.
Yeah. Because basically, we're going to be in Austin at the
Reggae Fest.
Okay,
but we'll make a trip.
That man, 50 miles, 60 miles, it would... A team of Clydesdales, okay, could not keep us from coming down, leaving the festival. So we're leaving. We're going to leave the Bob Marley Festival and drive.
Or the Reggae Fest.
Yeah. The Reggae Fest, Bob Marley Fest, Reggae
whatever,
Fest.
Whatever.
Yeah, we're going to leave the festival and drive to San Antonio.
Go see Break It Down.
Hey, Russ, hey, man, you better leave that rain down there with you, man. Don't be bringing that shit. Do not bring that shit here. You know, when you're in San Antonio that weekend, hey, player, we don't need that.
Leave it in Portland.
Yeah, you leave it there. You know, leave it there. And we're coming to Portland.
We'll get you a hoodie, but leave it in Portland.
Yeah. But people, we're coming to Portland. We're coming to hang out with you guys and Russ Break It Down Belleville. We got to come hang out with you guys. We're going to come to your coffee shops. We want to see what's going on. We will be there. Okay.
Absolutely. Also, guys, if you want to contact us and find out more about our opinions on anything that happened at Rice, feel free. You can contact Blunston at profblunston@gmail.com, and I'm at deanschwag@gmail.com. It's spelled a little differently. It's DEANSHWAG. Moving right along, guys. This next story we want to touch on is entitled Pat Robertson Says Marijuana Use Should Be Legal. This is something that has been talked about quite a bit over the last few days.
Okay, now hold on here. Now, there was an article that actually says, that actually asked the question, basically it says, are we back to where we started, or it was
right? That was another one that we were looking at, and I didn't want to talk about that one because that one really had a lot of rhetoric.
Yeah, but it was referring to, you know, here it is. They're saying like, well, here it is, we're here again. You know, we were here at one time before, now we're here again. So how do we think it's going to be any different this time? Well, this is how it's going to be different, okay? Because actually, 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago, we didn't have people like Pat Robertson, respectable primetime evangelist like Pat Robertson speaking for the legalization of cannabis, okay? We didn't have people like that. We weren't on Rice campuses 4 years ago.
Having debates.
Exactly.
About legalizing drugs in general and talking about re-legalization of cannabis.
But the most important part, people, and please listen at this, the commercials that they are running, okay, is basically getting you ready. It is a subliminal, yes, the Budweiser in the Prohibition commercials is a subliminal message to get you ready, okay? Think about it. The alcohol prohibition ended in 1933. So therefore, that's been gone for a minute. Well, they're showing you this ending of prohibition and this, you know, and they're showing you the Budweiser. We know Budweiser is affiliated with alcohol. Well, alcohol's been gone for a while. So what prohibition ending are they talking about?
We'll leave you guys with that to answer that on your own. To briefly read this story about Pat Robertson, it says, of the many roles Pat Robertson has assumed over his five-decade-long career as an evangelical leader, including presidential candidate and provocative voice of the right wing, his newest guise may perhaps surprise his followers the most, marijuana legalization advocate. Quote, I really believe we should treat marijuana the way we treat beverage alcohol, Mr. Robertson said in an interview on Wednesday. I've never used marijuana and I don't intend to, but it's just one of those things that I think this war on drugs just hasn't succeeded. Agree completely.
Agreed. I mean, here it is. This man is from the Christian Broadcast. You know, hey.
When the more people we get like this on our side and fighting for the truth, the better.
Yeah, but and you know what? And Mr. Robertson, he says he didn't plan to use it, and as far as I'm thinking, he didn't plan to smoke it. but I guarantee he'll eat a cookie or
he'll take a tincture.
Yeah, he'll he'll eat a brownie and he'll eat a cookie and drink a glass of milk. I promise you. So I guarantee you, Mr. Robertson will eat a cookie, drink a nice warm glass of milk, and go to bed and have a great sleep that night.
Oh, absolutely. Moving on. We can't really touch on this for too long. It's a very long interview. This is out of alternet.org. It's entitled, "This Debate Will No Longer Be Suppressed. Legalizing Drugs Breaks into the Mainstream." This is an interview with Ethan Nadelman, which you heard today, but it's a printed interview with Democracy Now. You guys can check that out in the show notes.
But wait a minute. It's also saying the Latin American leaders are increasingly speaking out against prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
They're against it. The Latin leaders are against it. Why? Because...
And public opinion in America, especially when it comes to legalizing pot, is shifting very rapidly.
Yeah,
seeing this.
Yeah, but see, but this is right here. The Latin American leaders are speaking out against it.
We know this. Remember when he was over in Mexico and he was saying it's never going to happen. Biden.
Yeah. But I'm thinking, man, I mean, you got people like your boy, what's his name, just got busted here, who spoke out against it. So we got people like him.
Yeah, I know.
So they're
going
to get
right.
paid. Though,
you're
so
you're right. You're
so
right.
So end it. That's going to really, okay.
Okay, moving on. Briefly touch on our continued Reefer Rhetoric 2012 Stop the Political Propaganda Tour. On March 18th, which is this Sunday, we're going to be in Austin, Texas at the Blind Pig for the Doobie Awards. On Friday, April 6th, we'll be in College Station, Texas at Texas A&M University. April 20th and 22nd, Friday through Sunday, we'll be in Austin, Texas for the Reggae Fest. And on Saturday, May 5th, we'll be in Austin, Texas for the Global Cannabis March.
Hey, look like we may go ahead and go on the on that ride. On the there's a wild ride that's happening like the 15th through the 17th or 18th or something like that. The 16th through the 18th in Austin, there's I think it's called a wild ride or something.
Okay, we'll look into it and we'll keep you guys informed. Yeah. This next portion of the show is brought to you by Gilligan Smoking Stuff out of Waco, Texas.
For the finest water pipes in Central Texas, come by and visit Gilligan Smoking Stuff located at 916 South Valley Mills Drive in Waco, Texas. Or come visit us on the web at www.hotsmokeshop.com. Spring break is right around the corner. For all your fine discraft needs, come by Gilligan Smoke Shop. For novelties, come by Gilligan Smoking Stuff. For your finest hookahs, water pipes, and pipes, we just say no to imported crap. So come see us at Gilligan Smoking Stuff located at 916 South Valley Mills Drive. Or you may call us at 254-732-4888.
All right, that will bring us, as usual, to our fourth segment, the Reefer Rhetoric Awards. First and foremost, our anti-cannabis politician of the week / douchebag of the week goes to...
First-time winner, Dr. Kevin Sabat.
Our pro-cannabis story of the week is Russ Belleville's Rice University debate recap, which you guys can find in the show notes. Finally, our Freedom Fighters of the Week go to...
We have three Freedom Fighters of the Week. No, we have three Freedom Fighters of the Week. The first Freedom Fighter of the Week goes to Miss Ann Lee. Yes, Miss Ann Lee. The second Freedom Fighter of the Week goes to Mr. Ethan Nadelman. And... Without saying, Russ, break it down, Belleville!
All right, guys, that will conclude episode 12 of Reefer Rhetoric. Stop the political propaganda.
Quit it. Stop it.
As usual, I'm your host, Dean Schwag.
And I'm Professor Blunston.
We look forward to talking to you guys again next week.
All right.
Yeah, it lovely like
morning. If you find it offensive, take my warning. Yeah, this little fat thing, she a me darling. Me have it stashed well in my cartel. When me water the trees, look all.